Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of The Drive here on The Fan. Big boys basketball game tonight at Dubuque Senior for the Cedar Falls Tigers. They go into this game tonight ranked number one in Class 4A. Meanwhile, Dubuque Senior ranked number four. Tigers are 19-0. Dubuque Senior 18-1. If you've been tuned into the station, if you've been paying attention, you know that in the state's smaller classes, the postseason has begun already. We're right here at the tail end of the season in the state's larger classes for boys and girls high school basketball. And this is a game that certainly has major implications moving forward for who is presumably going to be the favorite going into Class 4A's boys basketball postseason. And you'll be able to hear this game tonight on Cruising KCFI. Pregame coverage at 7:15, tip-off at 7:30, and the play-by-play voice of Cedar Falls Tigers boys and girls basketball on Cruising KCFI. Dave Finnegan joins us now on the show. Dave, thanks for being here. How are you?
I'm great, Cole. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. It's great to catch up. It's been a little while, of course. It seems like we catch up maybe once or twice during the season, and then you look up and it's like, wait a minute, postseason's here already. And as I mentioned, that's right around the corner for the state's larger classes, and what a showdown here at the tail end of the regular season at Dubuque Senior tonight, as you'll have this call of the number one Tigers against number four Dubuque Senior. Just as you have done your prep for this game, as you just well know, both of these teams being heavy hitters in Class 4A, what jumps off the page?
The first thing for me from an opponent standpoint here this evening, of course, everybody's familiar with the Tigers here for the most part, but Tevin Schultz is just absolutely tremendous for Dubuque Senior. He averages 25.5 points a game. In the course of this season, he's broken the all-time scoring record for Dubuque Senior. For a story to program as that's been, to say that he's on top of that pile is really quite something. He's a 6'7 combo type player that can shoot the ball outside. He can go in dumb towards the basket, but just everything he does impresses me. And he's able to spread that love. They've got two other scorers that are averaging up near 13 and 15 points a game respectively in Porter and Mettinger. So this is going to be, with respect to a couple of other opponents that they played this season, it's going to be the Tigers' toughest test here so far this year.
You imagine that Leighton Wolf gets that defensive assignment tonight on Schultz?
I think Leighton will get in there. I think they'll try to put Will on him a little bit as well, Will Gertis. But I don't think you can reasonably expect one body to carry the load here in this one. I think that the Tigers are going to have to change up how they're going to guard him. I think you're going to see a little bit of double team action on there, at least based on some of the things that I've followed in terms of how they like to play against other teams' stars throughout the course of the year. So, but it'll be interesting, but I think both of the big guys will have an opportunity to spearhead that matchup.
What else do you think deserves a keen eye on this matchup tonight between the Tigers and Dubuque Senior? Obviously Schultz and whomever's guarding him, as we talked about, is really the headliner. But who else do you think could really be a factor tonight?
I think we'll talk about one player on each side. I think Cooper Porter for Dubuque Senior. He's made 61 three-pointers this season, which is a little over three per ball game. He can really light it up. He's shooting 46% from distance there. And on the Cedar Falls side, I think that fans and teammates and coaches are really starting to like more of what they see out of Parker Burns. He's starting to really feel totally at ease within the span of this offense. And when you talk about Gertis averaging 21.5 a game and Kimbrough averaging 20 a game, there's going to be looks for him, and there's going to be an opportunity for him to use his speed. I think he's the fastest player on the team, and his ability to get downhill is really something that teams maybe haven't paid attention to a lot this season, but they're going to have to here in the postseason.
Is there any player on this Cedar Falls boys basketball team or anything about the collective that you think has just been really good, in really good form lately here in the stretch run down toward the end of the regular season?
I think it's cliche to say Will Gertis, but I mean, if you're talking about somebody that's shooting 75% from the field, 70, that's three out of every four baskets he puts up towards the rim, they go in the hoop. part of that is because he's got the skills, he's got the talent, but also part of it is because he's getting great looks at the basket. I think the way the team, particularly over the last couple of weeks, has started to move the basketball, there have been some times where it gets a little bit stagnant in the offense, but when you're talking about high school kids over the course of, you know, a 21-game grind of a season, you know, you just kind of have nights where you're just not, you don't have your A game. And I think as long as the team is moving the basketball efficiently, whether that's in transition, whether that's in the half court, they're going to find a good look at the basket almost every time.
With respect to Will Gertis and just how good we knew he was before this season, how great he's been this season, you point out that field goal percentage. Jaden Kimbrough has really taken a big step up this year, and I would have to imagine that that's made it much more difficult for teams to send that double to the post on Gertis.
Absolutely. And when you've got people that can space the floor at different levels, if you're sending two guys at Gertis on the block or wherever he's at on the floor, you know, somebody's going to be open. You see that in Leighton Wolf. He's in the top 10 in class 4A in assists this season. I mean, and he's a 6'8 power forward. So, you know, you see that in as far as that goes, but you also see it in Jaden Kimbrough. You know, not a lot of the looks he's getting from three are, you know, great looks. Teams are starting to say, all right, we can't let him get rolling. You saw it in the Waukee Northwest game in early January. He scored 36 points, and he can get you 30 on any given night if you let him have that opening, let him have some open looks. But those guys just continue to amaze me time after time after time with how they're able to create shots for themselves at every level. And that's the difference with Jaden's game this year too. He's got that ability to explode and go to the basket, but that 15 to 18 foot quote unquote lost art of the mid-range jumper is really what has really improved upon the most this season.
Be it from your eye calling the games or what you've heard from Ryan Schultz, what is something that this team, you know, it's late in the process here. It's not like there's any massive changes happening with Cedar Falls or anybody else for that matter. But what's something that's, you know, realistic they could be a little bit better at that's going to make them that much more difficult to compete against?
I think that we're going to really get a sense this evening of how they're going to be in close games, which A is good because the teams that you should beat and you should blow out, they've been doing that. Their point differential is plus 27 per game this season. So I think we're going to see that this evening, and I think part of that is going to have to be they're going to have to shoot free throws better. They're only averaging about 63% from the foul line this season. They've had a couple of games where they've been well under 50%. I think game number two against Waterloo West, I think they were 6 for 18 from the foul line. That's something that's going to cause you to raise your eyebrows and say, all right, you know, if we're a team that's just beaten down on the block, are we going to hack them and you know, say let's give them two chances to just shoot free throws, or you know, do we let them take it up and put it down the way they have been?
Well, our colleague Mark Simpson of Maximum Mornings fame, we were talking about this big Tiger game tonight earlier today, and you talk about great minds thinking alike, Dave. He mentioned the free throw shooting. So, you know, I think most every coach is probably going to point to turnovers and free throw shooting this time of year, because like I mentioned before in asking the question, there's not a lot you can get a lot better at this time of year, right? Like the hay's in the barn to a degree here.
What you are is what you are at this point. You're not going to see a lot of things at this point. You know, there may be one or two, you know, different sets you might start to see thrown in, or maybe a different kind of pressure defensive look that coaches say, all right, let's save this for the right time of year and make sure that it's not on film for others to see. But the other thing with that too is, and I've talked to other coaches and personnel within the league that the Tigers play, their ability to get stops is just something that they have come so far on from last year's team, which was a state semifinalist, mind you, to this season. You can almost always count that they're going to come away with a stop, or they're going to make you shoot a contested shot. They've done it to good teams like Ames, who's only lost twice. They've done it to good teams like Prairie, who's only lost three times and won 13 out of 14 games. And even to Waukee Northwest. They, you know, Northwest put up, you know, 69 points against them, but you know, they had to work for each and every one of them, and they're in the top five in the state, too.
Cedar Falls High School boys and girls play-by-play voice Dave Finnegan, our guest on this Tuesday edition of The Drive. You hear Dave over on Cruising KCFI. We were just breaking down tonight's big matchup in Class 4A, the number one Cedar Falls boys on the road at number four Dubuque Senior. Again, pregame coverage at 7:15, tip-off at 7:30 of that one tonight. That's 12:50 a.m. 105.1 FM. All right, let's talk about Greg Groen's team. The Cedar Falls girls, they're number four in Class 5A, sitting at 17-4 overall. They're going to take on either Davenport North or Dubuque Hempstead on Saturday as they're awaiting their first postseason opponent in that sub-state, Region 6 sub-state. Just down the stretch here, what's really caught your attention with Coach Groen's Tigers?
They've really had to battle through a lot of adversity here, and it's so cliche for any coach or anybody that's in a media type position to say that, but Karis Finley's had an injured ankle.
Yeah.
Ayla Suter's had a concussion. She missed six games earlier this season. Jordan Oakland ended up not missing any games, but she's been fighting through an ankle injury, and just the overall kind of illness and soreness. And you know, this is a team that's really showed its resiliency, particularly late in the season. They beat a really good Iowa City West team. They ended up beating them twice during the course of the season. One on the road at Wallert Catholic, who's a top four team in Class 3A. And that's always a difficult road assignment there, too. But this is a team that's resilient. And, you know, I spend a lot of time talking about Karis Finley, and yet I still don't think she gets the credit she deserves. She's probably not going to be Mississippi Valley Conference Player of the Year. I think it's going to be Natalie Ramsey of Iowa City Liberty. But Karis, nobody's met more to her team than she has.
You look at the numbers.
They go.
You look at the numbers. She's good to great at everything. It's really remarkable what she's done, not just this year, but throughout her Tiger career. One of the Tigers you did not mention, junior Taylor Vore, she's had a really nice season.
She's been fantastic, and somebody who played very sparingly at the varsity level her sophomore season, and just came up at the very end of the season her freshman year, where that was the Tiger team that ended up in the state semifinals. But I've been so impressed with her ability to be an inside-outside player. We talked about it with Tevin Schultz on Dubuque Senior earlier, but she can play at both levels as well. The one thing that Taylor could continue to be more confident, coaches constantly tell me, Dave, we need to make sure that she's shooting the basketball. She needs to feel that level of confidence in herself. She continues to rise and make strides and make gains, and she can still, I think, even get just a shade better.
Dave, any final thoughts before I let you go?
I think this is just, I mean, it's a really fun time of year, and it's really, you know, great to see the successes, not just of the Tiger programs, but of the other teams in the area, particularly, you know, as you get down to the lower classes, 1A and 2A, in both boys and girls basketball, the depth of and quality of play that we see year in and year out, just tremendous. And while I have 10 seconds here on the air, I got to give a shout out to all four of the producers that have helped handle all of our, not just Tiger basketball, but UNI Sports, Waterloo Blackhawks. I'm talking about Angie and Caden and Tucker and Scott. Those four put in the hours, put in the effort. Can't say enough good things about
them. Yeah, that's an all-star group. And quick mention, too, for game you're going to have Thursday night, boys 2A quarterfinal.
That'll be a district semifinal game, sub-state quarterfinal. Yes, that's right.
The Columbus Catholic boys playing host to Hudson. Those are two really good 2A teams.
Absolutely. Hudson just 2 years removed from a 2A state runner-up appearance. Both teams finished sub-500 last year, have really played good basketball this season. Hudson off of a nice win on Monday night over Olwine. So it's going to be really fascinating to watch those two programs match up for the third time this season.
That's going to be a 6:50 pregame on Thursday on Cruisin', a 7 o'clock tip for the Sailors against the Hudson Pirates. Dave, thanks for coming in. Have a great call tonight.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Cole.